What's up, Whiskey Business listeners? Greg Hansberry with you. And this is a special podcast with comedian Jason Banks. This is like the fourth time he's been on our show, but the first time where we were able to sit down with him and talk one-on-one. And as you can imagine, once the mics were turned on and the liquor was being consumed, we went really long. We talked to him for like 2 hours. So we're breaking up our conversation with comedian Jason Banks into two different podcasts. This one that you're listening to is part one. Next week, we're going to drop part two. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week, too.
Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis. Tonight on the podcast, comedian Jason Banks, who has exploded across not only the country, the world. With what? We'll find out tonight on Whiskey Business. Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis, and welcome to Whiskey Business. Let me pose this question to you, ladies and gentlemen. Have you had your 15 minutes of fame? That's an interesting little situation when you talk about the 15 minutes of fame. When I say that, let's talk about the normal people in the world who get their 15 minutes of fame. People who weren't expected to be famous at all. They become a local hero. They save a dog. They save a child, and they get their 15 minutes of fame. They're in the paper. They get a plaque from the city. Their 15 minutes of fame, something that they hold on to for the rest of their lives and go, remember that time? And they get their 15 minutes of fame. Everybody says that we all get our 15 minutes of fame. But then you go to the creative types, the artists, the musicians, the actors, and the comedians who also strive for more than 15 minutes of fame. Maybe it's the first 15 minutes of fame that gets them there, but then they want more. They want to hang on to it and expand and grow. And tonight we talk about those 15 minutes of fame, which have taken 15 years in the making. Jason Banks, comedian from Columbus, Ohio, who in the midst of the pandemic downloaded an app on TikTok, and man, where it has gone since then is amazing and almost not fair. And I'll explain why. No, and I'm not from a jealous standpoint, not fair, but I'll explain what I mean by that as we sit and talk tonight with Jason Banks and our guest bottle tonight, which I'll also go into a little detail about. This is Mic Drop from Indiana. So first of all, let's say hi to Jason Banks. Thank you, man, for being here. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you having me.
Greg Hansberry, our audio producer, John yep. Whitney, our video producer. Can't do the podcast with either one of them, but we got a little business to get to before we start going in depth with Mr. Jason Banks.
That's right. Thanks to our podcast network that they were short-sighted enough to let us join.
Yeah, we're on a podcast network now, Banks.
Okay. Evergreenpodcast.com. We're in the new and trending section, yep. as well yeah. as we're the new, fun and nostalgic section.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fun. My ass is nostalgic.
So wait, right. So this is just, you can go to their website and just see other streaming podcasts that people can click on yours. That's what it means to join a podcast network.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So they've got a whole, and that's a good point, because there's hundreds of other podcasts under the Evergreen umbrella,
right,
for all your different tastes. So right. you can scroll through and find different stuff you like. You like sports, you like pop culture,
you
movies,
like fun
whatever.
And nostalgia.
You yeah. like fun yeah. and nostalgia. You're in the right spot.
I mean, it's fun, right? As long as it says fun, that's not a bad
no,
category.
No,
yeah.
no, it's great.
I would probably click on that.
I don't think they have like a for alcoholics section. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, they probably still steer clear of that verbiage.
But yeah, we're thrilled to be part of the guys. Evergreen podcast family. And that's kind of a new thing for us. So
that's
we're
right. Whiskeybusinesspod.com for archive episodes. And we've got a bunch of videos and writings and pictures and this different stuff. Plus, we're on your favorite podcasting app. Go ahead and hit subscribe and like, rate, review us. YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and not TikTok yet.
Not TikTok. We missed out on TikTok, man.
I don't know if the podcast world is big on TikTok.
I don't think they are. Are you a whiskey drinker? Because I asked you a question about this bottle right here, Mic Drop. Now, this was wonderfully gifted to me, all right, at last Realtor Standing. You know that little
yeah,
Realtor comedy thing they do? Sarah Miller and her gang of people always gift me a lovely bottle. And they thought that Mic Drop would be appropriate for that particular show. Now, when they bought this, it was $75 a bottle. What I did not know after doing some extensive research is that they were only made 2,700 bottles of this one, this particular one. This is bottled at MGP in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, or I'm sorry, distilled there, and then bottled in Bardstown, Kentucky. It's aged for 4 years in oak casks. It is 60% corn, 36% rye, has a high rye content, and 4% barley malts in here. And only $2,700, 2,700 bottles made of it. And now, when I do a little research, apparently it was such a success and a hit that this same bottle can now go for anywhere between $450 a bottle to $1,400 a bottle, depending on who's selling it and who's willing to pay for it. And I thought mic drop would be appropriate. I've told the guys, I said, I'm saving mic drop when we have a great comedian on.
All right.
So now, as far as I'm concerned, you're not drinking a $70 bottle of whiskey, which is not cheap.
Right?
This is a $1,400 bottle.
Listen.
Of whiskey.
I am a whiskey drinker. I drink whiskey before every comedy show.
Yeah, what do you drink?
It's just
Jameson.
It's a very simple Jameson and a Coors Light. And if they bring
together?
I mean, yeah, I take the shot. It's usually a double, I'll take it and then I drink my beer. Then I'll go on stage.
Oh, so you do a shot of Jameson. You're not talking about over ice or anything like that.
No.
So a shot of Jameson.
It's usually a double.
A shot of JMO and then the Coors Light. Okay.
Before you go on stage? Or is it like you're nursing it while you're back there?
No, I'm getting there a half hour before, and I want it when I get there. When I get it, because as soon as I drink that Jameson and start drinking the Coors, I get this warm feeling over my body, man. It calms everything down. Mm-hmm. And the whole day I wasn't ready till the show, and now I'm ready for the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's not until about 5-10 minutes before I get on stage where I'm like, yeah, I'm
warmed up.
I'm ready.
It's like the opposite of athletes. You know, they like try to get like healthy, mentally prepared. That's what Letterman did. He would pound candy bars, like Hershey bars, right before he would go on stage.
Really?
And he would just boom, boom, boom. So he had that like sugar rush going out there.
And the Letterman used to drink too.
He died of a heart attack.
Then he used to drink. Yeah, then he used to drink too.
Oh,
but he quit drinking. This one,
cheers, $1,500 bottle.
Potentially, if you were to sell it to the right person. So we crack open the mic drop, and it's got all kind of spices in the nose, right? See, that's how sophisticated we've gotten, man.
We go
with the nose, and then the palate, and the finish. Can you smell anything in that?
I definitely smell something. I couldn't tell you what it is.
It's not super aromatic, I don't think.
Huh. I smell it, but I definitely taste it in the palate. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. There's a bunch of spiciness in there, for sure.
I think it like a licorice.
There's a little bit of licorice in there. Yeah. I get a lot of baking type spices. Like I'm eating a very flavorful muffin.
some oats and flour.
Liquid bread.
Do we have whiskey tasting, man? You should definitely, like my sister-in-law's sister.
Yeah.
She goes around for the wine test, you know, so she takes the wine and she did that when we all had to sit there and smell it and watch it go down the side. If it goes slow or fast, they don't do that with whiskey, man. I think you would be a great host.
We've done whiskey tastings before on Whiskey Business and we've had distillers on talking about their products. So yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You are a professional comedian. We are not professional whiskey people. We never go pro on our. We just love whiskey and love trying it, but we never claim that we're whiskey experts.
That's what
keeps us legit. Because those guys, those assholes, they think they know whiskey. No, we don't know whiskey.
We're enthusiasts.
We're enthusiasts.
We're just barnstorming. That's
There's
all
a
we're
difference.
Doing.
Yeah. There's a difference.
I'm enthusiastic to get drunk with Dino.
Yeah, I'm good. I get it.
And watch this one because this one's almost 113 proof. So
I'm gonna be careful. Trust me.
So you know, sip gently, but sip all you want.
And for the people at home, this is awesome. It's got a glass cork, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I thought I was the only one shocked by that. I was like, oh, look at that.
It's like a little butt plug.
The reason it's so expensive now is they only made 2,700 bottles, like I said, and it's sold out. So there's no more bottles to buy unless somebody has one, like I just did. And
I love everything about this. It's got it's like a Superman silhouette with a eagle and a snake. It's just rad.
Yeah.
It's just over the top. It's
different.
Over the top.
All right. So that's our guest bottle for tonight. Bottle 167. We've had 167 bottles on this podcast. We've tried 167 bottles on this podcast. So what do you guys drink on Comedians on South High?
Oh, man, whatever's in the fridge at the studio. Man. It usually is water and Coors Lights. And we'll head over to that little, there's a little pizza spot right beside it. Not really a pizza spot, it's a bar down the street. We'll go over there and drink a little bit before we go get on. But yeah, it's whatever in the fridge, man.
And you're busy now, man. So Comedians on South High was just something extra to do in between a week of comedy here, a week of comedy there. So let's get into it, shall we? I mean, you were a touring comedian. You've been doing stand-up for over 15 years. I remember when you first burst on the scene. And I have to emphasize this. I am not blowing smoke up your ass because I've known you for a long time. But I remember seeing you for the first time when I first saw you. And I said, wow, that's something special. And you and I have done benefits together. The last time we were at some sort of benefit at a country club. And I watched you, you know, I did okay, but I watched you go up and kill. And I remember saying to you that night, I go, man, promise me you'll never stop doing this because it's going to happen for you. Now, I did not know how it was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. And are you as surprised as I am that it happened the way it has, with TikTok being the rocket ship that kind of shot you to where you're at right now?
Absolutely. But here's the thing. I also knew the whole, no, I shouldn't say the whole time. I found out later that it wasn't going to be until I had a following that anything would even get crazy.
Right. Right.
Because I thought I was doing well enough. I'm performing I'm at Rock in the Range, and Dave Stroop and JB Smoove and Dave Stroop wife's on the side of the stage. And I do my set and I get off and JB's like, oh man, that was hilarious. And, Dave's wife comes up, she goes, you are my favorite comedian. I watch comedians all the time. And she's like, you're going to be somebody. And then, of course, Dave just standing there like, you guys, when he lunch?
Yeah, not saying a word.
Not too much.
Yeah, he evokes no emotion whatsoever.
So, he's the booker at the Funny Bone.
He is booker at the Funny Bone style, yeah.
So now I'm thinking, I got enough material, and I think I'm funny enough that I could probably get an agent. So I would email agents clips of me, right? And just thinking, if you just watch this little clip, you'll probably be like, hey, man, I could put him on something, right?
Right.
And I only got one response out of every time. And I would look up major ones. I wasn't just emailing. I'm lying. I did email one crazy one. But I'm looking up like, okay, this agency, this is Dave Chappelle's agency. This is Dave Chappelle signed with, right? So this is like Gersh, right? So I'm reaching out, and I'm reaching out probably to UTA, and I never got any response. Like one time, they were just like, no, we're okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't remember those things, but basically the email was, no, we're okay. Thank you so much.
That's it. We got plenty of comics.
Yeah.
We don't need anybody else on the roster. So
I knew I needed a following, man, and I just figured out, right? It was actually, I joined TikTok before the pandemic kicked in. I remember it was right before, because what happened was I was working at Chase and I got this severance package, right? Basically, my position was ending in October 2019. So I was going to try to do full stand up and just go ahead and let the bone know that I don't work, give me as much as you can. And I was just getting in with Helium Comedy Club. So I was going to try to do it different ways.
Now that you mention it, I remember that conversation that we had, that you told me you were leaving Chase and you were worried. You were concerned.
You were so concerned
that I go to church at Cooper up in Polaris, and every day they'll ask you who wants to pray for them, and I would never go down. They could call me out specifically, because you know they'll call you out at the church. They'll be like, I feel like somebody just had an argument with their dad, you know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes they call me out, you got an Ohio State shirt on, you're looking at me, you know? And I'd be like, I don't know who they're talking to. And everybody go down and get prayed, and I never went down. This one time, I was like, I'm going to go down. My job just then, I'm going to go down and just have this girl pray for me. And just, I'm just going to tell her I'm thinking about doing. And she looked at me like I was crazy. Here's the crazy thing. When she called me down, hey, we need our prayer warriors. So like 86 prayer warriors get up, they go up front, because it's a big church and they pray for everybody down there. Mm-hmm. The lady that talks and calls everybody down came to me. So she comes over.
Specifically.
Zeroed not in for on me. You. No, not like I'm not going to make this some big Zorro. She zeroed in on me. Like, they carried her over.
It's like Blues Brothers.
She sensed that you needed the Lord.
And what really happened was nobody was praying for me. And she was like, let me go pray for him.
Oh.
So she came over.
She felt bad.
She prayed for me. She prayed for me whether I should just go ahead and just go full-time comedy and like do this little struggling thing where I know I'm not going to be making a lot because I'm featuring, so you're not making a lot of money. Or should I just look for a job? And when I said it to her, she almost looked at me like I was crazy, like, you and your little rapping ass friends, go get a real job. That's how she almost looked at me, but she prayed for me. And then, man, I was only shooting these videos on TikTok and moving them to Instagram. I was only shooting on TikTok. It's the easiest way to record.
100%.
As long as you stop.
TikTok's the best.
As long as you're holding a button and you let go, you stop. You can move to the next thing and record. If you have music in the background, you don't have to try to add music. It just picks up where you left off of recording.
Yeah.
So I would shoot them that way and put them on Instagram. And my phone was slowly built on TikTok. I post them on TikTok to see if there's any type of reaction. And then I post them to Instagram. It wasn't until I was on there one time and I went on and I got all these notifications and I was tagged in a video where someone posted my video from Laugh Mob's Laugh Tracks.
Right.
And this guy had like 150,000 views on this. And I have like probably 1,200 followers. And he has so many. So I was like, I'm going to post that video. So I posted a video and I went up to like 3,000 followers. So I was like, oh, I can try to build this on TikTok. And so these people would talk about ways to gain followers on TikTok. And somebody was like, post your best video that you ever posted, just repost it. So I reposted my Laugh Tracks video a second time, maybe like a month later. And the next morning I woke up and it was like at 25,000 views.
Sweet.
And it just kept building to the point. I remember we were out of town and I remember texting my friend who had like 200,000 followers right now. I texted him like, yo, I have 16,000 followers, bro. Like I went from 1,200, I'm at 16,000. And like by the end of the day, or maybe the end of 2 days, I was at 100,000.
Wow.
And it started to slow down because the video was out. People were sharing it, but it started slowing down. And so I was just thinking, how can I keep building followers, man? And I moved to my Twitter, which on Twitter, I tweeted one time. It was a quick tweet that said, kids eat free. Nice. In that case, I'll have a water. And my son will have the steak and shrimp combo with a kid's Bud Light, right? And so I was like, yo, I got to turn that into like the TikTok video. Because I would try to take my jokes and turn them into it. So I did this video where I'm sitting there and I used this filter for the kid. And if I knew this kid was going to blow up, I'd have gave him a different name. But I didn't know a name. I didn't know a name I was going to give him. So I was just sitting there and like, the server comes over and he's talking. Like I'm playing everybody. So I'm playing the server. I come over and I'm telling him, hey, kids eat free. And as a dad, I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm just going to have a water. And like, what would you have, Derek?
Derek.
And then Derek, like, you could tell he's already in the plan. He's like, he starts naming everything that he wants and what the dad wants.
I've seen that video.
And that one blew up. So when that one started hitting millions, then my 100,000 followers started going up to like 200, 300. So I just kept pounding those. And I think it's when I went on tour with Mike Paramore. We was gone for like a month. And we just had these houses. And I just was just sit in the room and just pound out video after video with these different ideas. Cause I had no kids. There's no wife there. There's nobody to sit there and stop me from shooting videos. I just had nothing to do all day.
But you do have a wife and you do have kids.
Yeah, right.
And what's your son's name?
My son's name's Camden. On the video is Derek. My son's name is Camden. And it had nothing to do with him whatsoever. I shouldn't say that. Because every once in a while.
Here it goes. I know there has to be.
Yeah.
Some little bit of inspiration in there.
There's it's really, I would say, my daughter, because she will say the most random things. She takes everything so literal. It is hilarious to us. Sometimes we forget what we say to her. We have to correct ourselves. Like we were at a baseball game and she was like, I know the person who catches is the catcher and the person who pitches is the pitcher, but the guy who hits, what is he? And I don't know why my wife said this, but she was like, he's the mongoose. And we never corrected her. And I swear for the whole baseball season, we never let it change because she would be so there. She'd just come over and she'd be like, hey guys, you better hurry up and get your drink because Cam's about to be the mongoose. So we'd go back to watching. I think it's our fault. Maybe we made her this way. But we were watching the Kardashians one time and I don't know why.
That's a family viewing?
No.
Kardashians?
I should say it's probably a commercial, to be honest with you, because I don't watch Kardashians. But I could just tell you, one of the Kardashians on TV said they had to move. They were going to move out of their house or they move out of the beach house, wherever. And she was like, if I move out of the beach house, I'll just die. And my daughter couldn't believe it. She was like, why would she die if she moved out of the beach house? So now she was concerned, like, why would the parents even make a move if their daughter's going to die if they leave? So I got to sit around and explain, she's not really going to die. This is going to happen. So because of small things they'll say, yes. Like sometimes we'll be dead middle of a movie, an hour to a movie, 45 minutes still left. And they'll say something so dumb that I'm like, I gotta shoot a video.
So you are inspired by
Let's pause this.
How old are the kids now?
They are 10. They'll be 11 in a couple months.
You got twins. He's got twins. So and are they aware of what dad's doing on TikTok?
They are. They don't have TikTok, but they know about it, and so they know about they know about everything. And if I shoot a video, sometimes if it's like some of them are cleaner, I'll show them some of the cleaner ones where like the kids just being stupid or something like that. But they're aware.
And are either one of them like posing you a question like, well, who's the kid based on? Have they gotten to that point in their lives where they start putting things together? Like,
I already have it explained to him.
Do you?
Not for the TikTok, because of the stand-up. Because my son is very sensitive, right? And so I already do the joke about where I say that my daughter, she talks fast, but my son, like, he can't get it out. So I'd explain. I say I hate our conversations. My house isn't the biggest house. So when I go over, like, not now, but I used to be at the house just doing stand-up. Like, if I was headlining the bone, I'm in the living room just doing my set. And they just come down, walk, they'll be right there. So then I got to make sure I'm not saying stuff for them to hear. But when I get to that, I had to tell him a couple of times. He never asked, but I just want him to know, listen, I also make fun of mom. Right, I make fun of mom. I say this stuff. But I want you to understand, like,
that an out though? I mean, does that cover it for now?
I think it does.
I make fun of mom too, so
I think it does. And then I just got to get my daughter in there, and he'll be good. Because at the end of the day, if he grows up and listens, let's say he grows up listens to my Netflix special, what he's going to hear is he's not going to hear anything nice about any of us.
Right.
He's going to hear about me being weak and not being able to fight, and then call my wife these names. I'm saying he can't talk. So I don't think it's going to be too bad. But you never know.
Equal opportunity abusive.
But if things continue on the path that they're going, and that's what I said in the onset of this thing, I said everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame. You don't want 15 minutes of fame. Did you want to be famous when you got into this? I mean, when you got into stand-up comedy, because if I remember correctly, and if my Jason Banks history is wrong, please feel free to correct me. But when you started, you actually started and stopped. For a while.
Yeah, so I started about 2006, had the twins in 2010, and then stopped for about 3 years. I will credit, a lot of people say this, and I usually don't correct them, but a lot of people will be like, hey man, remember when you were like, I'm about to stop doing stand-up? And I was like, man, keep doing stand-up. And I was saying, no, I never remember having that conversation with you at all. I had Oliver Gray, if you know who that is.
I do.
I believe is the reason I kept doing stand-up. I had my kids for 3 years, and he posted he was going to be at the Funny Bone in a competition. And I used to live in Canton, and he lived in, like, Wadsworth or somewhere around Canton. So when I'm in Columbus now and he posts that, I was like, I'm going to go check out this show. So I go check him out. I haven't done stand-up in years, and they're still signing up people on the list. So I signed up, and I was, like, one of the last four people to sign up. I paid $10, and I was supposed to come back a couple weeks later and perform. And then I won that competition, and Stroop saw me, and he came up. He said, hey, man, I actually thought I lost, because first of all, there's one guy there who has the whole crowd filled.
Right.
So bad that when they brought us the top three to the front for a clap off, his people were holding up signs that said, like, his name for president. And Dave came up to me. He goes, hey, before I walked on stage, he goes, hey, when you're done, come see me. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I didn't win because I won. I'd probably go see him anyway, right? So he must want me to be like, hey, I know you lost, but don't worry, come find me. He goes, you know who I am? I'm like, no. He's like, Dave Stroop. I was like, okay, I'll come find you. And then I won. I went up there, and so.
There you go.
There you go.
And I think, you know, when I said I had that conversation with him, I said, don't, please promise me you won't stop what you're doing. I think I caught you. I don't think I caught you in the very, very beginning of your stand-up.
I
think I caught you when you came back after the three-year hiatus.
Yeah.
I think that's when I saw you for the first time.
Because I was my 3 years was nobody from Columbus knew me. I came from Canton doing it there, 3 years here. Yeah, and I don't mean like you. I just mean like people will be on their podcast like, Jason was about to quit. He was down. I was like, hey, man,
no,
keep doing
it. I don't remember that. I just remember in our conversations that you talked about a hiatus where you took a break.
And
having twins would do it. I mean, man, you're married, you got two babies, you got to work and making, I don't know, how much were you making in stand-up back then?
when you first started.
When you get a week's worth as when I was working as an MC, I was making $350 a week.
Oh, but you gotta understand, I don't want to put the club out, so I'll go that way. The club that I was at was that $350 was feature pay, and it was harder work. You weren't doing the weekend; you were doing like Wednesday through Sunday.
Oh yeah,
like, you were there every day for like $350, and I was a feature, so I wasn't even getting that. I was probably getting $150, and that's the only places I was really. And then when I was getting paid, somebody were $100 was crazy to me. Like they'd be like, "Hey man, come through 20," and I'd tell my wife like, "I mean, I'm." Make a lot of stand up, but I am getting paid like $100 every 20 minutes. Like, technically, that's $300 an hour. What do you mean?
That's good. That's good money.
I just need 40 hours a week. That's it.
There's an old saying that says behind every successful man is a strong woman. Now, let's talk about your wife for a second, who's been with you from the get go through all of this. I mean, has she always been supportive?
Yeah, 100%. And she's strong. Not just that, just strong in general. Like, the stories go beyond stand-up. Like, we fought somebody before together. Like, not even... I shouldn't say that. She beat a guy up for me before. is what happened. And that's honest, true story. Like, there was just this guy. I don't know why he didn't like me. And he was dating this girl. He was best friends with the girl across the street.
I was just trying to picture this in my head.
It's so true. Listen to this. All right. Man. I get out of the car. And this guy across the street is sitting there. And it's really my fault. He's making some noise. So I just kind of mock him because I didn't like him either. And he got up and we met in the middle of the street in front of my house. He's across in the middle of the street. And he's talking. And me, I just feel like I'm going to mush his face but not do anything. Like, he just going to take the face mush. That didn't happen at all.
Oh,
I mushed his face. And the same time I mushed his face, I'm hitting my jaw. Like, the same time. Ow. He saw the mush come and hit me. And knock me down. And I go to, as I'm getting up, my wife is already there. She already came. He didn't even see her. She's hitting him. He fell. She's about just pounding. My brother came out the house. He jumped the porch. He's running down. So by this guy, like, squirrels out, jumps in his car and just drives away. And so, yeah, she's just a strong woman. So she's behind me in stand-up. She's behind me in everything.
She got your back, literally.
Back all the time. So, yeah, she's cool with stand-up, man. She lets, especially now.
I would imagine so.
She's happy.
Now that I'm looking my right investment out. Has paid off.
Yeah. So she's definitely happy because, you know, we were like, it was slow to get, like, Chase was doing well. I was doing good. Chase.
You're moving up.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why they kind of let me go with the severance pack, because I think they were like, he's making too much just to be this business analyst. So they were like, they just cut my position. So, I mean, that's when I was buying Coach purses. But now we got to go to the Louis Vuitton store. So she was very excited. And then the person inside Louis Vuitton knew me. They're like, hey, they're like, the whole time I was trying to get you to say something so I could hear your voice and see if you was that guy.
But
bro, you have no idea how much I'm recognized these days. I was recognized this morning. This is the second time in my car, though. I can see if I'm in your face. Like, if I'm walking, I'm just looking at you like, hey, man, you remember me? This guy pulled up to me after I left Starbucks, and he just looked over, and he just like this. So I rolled down my window. He said, he must be from Newark, because he said, you funny, son.
funny son.
And
thank
then,
you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that validation. That's what I was looking for in my career.
I made it.
And then another guy, we were just on Main Street in Reynoldsburg, and this guy runs up to the car at the light and was like, hey, are you from TikTok? And I was like, and I'm driving. He goes, can I get a picture? I was like, before the light turns red. So he ran around and he just got down, and my wife leans back because she didn't want to be in it. Somebody came out at Culver's. One of the workers came out and got a picture while we're waiting for food.
Oh, Culver's, that's the best.
So
the butter burgers.
And my kids love it every time. They get excited. Somebody came. My daughter's track meet. Somebody just came up and got a picture.
So are your kids aware? Are the kids aware that daddy's kind of famous right now?
Yeah, they get because my son would see it all the time. My daughter, it was like this weird thing where my daughter would never be there and my son would get to come home and be like, it happened again. Somebody noticed dad.
Yeah.
But now she sees it. But here's the craziest part. We were in Tempe. So at first we went to Tampa and somebody rolled up on me and they were like, hey, we get my Snapchat. They were just driving by. So I'm like, yo, they know me in Tampa? Like, that's crazy. So then we went to Tempe, and this is probably the best thing that ever happened to me so far as this small celebrity is kind of kicking in. Is we were my agent was there too. So my agent flew in from LA. So with my agent, my merch guy, and Kenny, We're all walking, and my merch guy's boy from Tempe. So it was a whole group of us walking down the street.
When you say Aunt Kenny, it sounds like a bad South Park episode.
So we're walking down the street trying to find like these like a smaller bar. Every bar's just going crazy, and we find one that don't seem to be too crazy.
Right.
So we try to go in, and a big security dude just stops us. Like, no, we close in 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, well, we got 10 minutes. He's like, nobody's coming in, and then he looks at me. He goes, "What's your name?" And so Jerry is excited. Oh, that's Mr. Jason Banks from TikTok. You know, Jerry is very pumped up.
Right, right.
And he was like, "That's what I get in here, guys." And he let us all go in the bar in Tempe, Arizona.
How does that feel, man?
Insane.
How does Beyond the velvet rope.
Yeah. Right. How does that feel when to have that recognition, that click? Like, this did not happen to me a year ago. This one might not have happened 6 months ago. And all of a sudden, tell me, because I don't know. I don't know. You know, I've had a minute taste of it from being on the radio for 24 years where I go.
Well, but that's what I was going to say. Radio and being like in a band, you're faceless. But this, you're front and center. And the effect you do for the kid, you know, the visual thing.
That warp thing.
I think it almost amplifies people like looking at you. You know what I mean? People are very familiar with your face.
Yeah.
More specifically than like a radio dude or just they heard your record.
So when that happened for the first time, like I'm getting in someplace where normally they would have told me just to turn around and go to another bar. When that happens, when that first click, what is that feeling?
That was amazing. It's becoming annoying really fast, and not that part of it, but just the people noticing you. Right, because understand, for you left before the show was over, right?
I had to, yeah. I apologize.
So it is just a line.
I know.
For pictures, and the line is crazy. And then if it's a second show, everybody for the second show is now jumping in the first line, going, "Hey, let's get pictures now, so we don't have to wait." So it just keeps going. By the time I would get in the second shows, it's already starting. Like I get back to the green room, they just come back like, "Hey, we're about to start right now." So and then. We walk into the I'm walking to the show and somebody catches me because it's raining, so we can't park in the back. So they catch me in the garage and get pictures. And then when I walked in, two ladies try to yell at me, and since I just waved and kept walking, they got mad. They're like, "Oh, he just blew you off." And then
right.
Like, yeah. So it's like they get upset. People get upset. And you already know I'm a shy person and I'm socially awkward. I don't want to talk to anybody. So now when you come up to me, all I have is appreciate it. That's all I have in my canon. So hey man, you're very funny. Appreciate it. That's where I want the conversation to end, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
They just, man, listen, man, that video you do whenever you ask to go to Chad's house, man, my daughter did that. We messaged you one time, but you never messaged us back.
They take it personally.
How do you think about it? Like, they just start talking the questions, and it's like, I get it.
You get you understand the connection that you're making with people, right?
Yes.
But what you don't understand and what you're probably not prepared for is how far that connection has to go when you get into face-to-face.
Yeah.
Right? So it's because I picked up on it immediately just from listening to bits of conversation the other guys were having when you were coming. You were talking about the funny bone. I was there on Thursday. I went back in the green room, say hello to everybody, say hi to Bobby and Kenny and Jared and everybody. And you guys were talking, and Jared was telling me about, it's crazy, man. He had to come through the back, and it was raining. And the fact that some people now get, oh, well, he blew me off. You didn't blow them off. You didn't blow them off intentionally.
Yeah.
No. And I know by nature that you're a shy person. But so how do you combat the fact that you are admittedly shy and socially awkward, but now you're in a place, in a position where you got to, like, step up off the shy scale and the socially awkward, and you did take all those pictures with all those people.
Well, but fortunately, that's not as bad because for a show, I'm already nervous for the show. So I'm already drinking Jameson and
Coors Light.
So by the time the show's over, the pictures are simple. It'd be different if all of a sudden, like, I have a signing to do. Like, hey, we're just doing a book signing at 3. Now I'm like, okay, this is going to suck because now I got to talk to all these people sober. At least when I'm drunk a little bit, it's not as bad. Because they're like, hey, man. I just say stuff right back. They're like, hey, man, so nice to meet you. I'm like, nice to meet you, too. I was just so excited. They're like, I'm so excited to see you. I was like, I'm excited to see you. They're like, I'm shaking. I was like, I'm shaking. Right? So I just go back and forth. I mean, it's easy. But if I wasn't drinking, it would just be this weird conversation. Like, okay.
And how long is this? When did this whole start? And I apologize, man. We joke about it. Said, you know, you're TikTok famous. And you say, no, you want to be stand-up famous. But TikTok was a vehicle that got you. And who cares what vehicle gets you there as long as it gets you there? Because it's the vehicle that gets you there, and now it's up to you to take it to the next level.
Well, there's still jokes and talent behind the TikTok videos.
That's what I'm curious about. Yeah. Because I noticed this. I'm an observer of human nature, and I was watching this audience that he was getting ready to perform for. And I watched Bobby go up and do great. I watched Kenny go up and do great. But I'm watching these people. I'm like, is this the usual Columbus Funny Bone crowd that loves and adores Jason Banks? Or is this a whole cross-section and mostly the TikTok people that come? And I'm sure this has crossed your mind as well. And are they going to be disappointed that it isn't all TikTok-y?
Yeah, so
you know,
it's
like
TikTok people,
Derek
right?
Jokes.
Yeah. You know, it's and not then, all Derek. It's not all about they sometimes they want to see what they've seen on TikTok. Yeah. Nah, come to see he didn't do anything that he did on TikTok.
He didn't do any of the hits.
No, he just did 45 minutes of brilliant stand up. Sorry, yeah. You know, but I saw you address the whole TikTok phenomenon on stage.
Yes, yeah, so they because I learned my lesson fast. I did a show. I actually started getting booked. Dave hit me up and was like, hey, I got this agent who's interested, man. He's with United Talent Agency.
Good agency.
So he's like, you want to talk? I was like, yeah, let's talk. Absolutely. So as I'm talking to him, I get booked at Hilarities. Dave books me at Tampa, Toledo, and Columbus. And then I sign with UTA, and I'm booked up until February now. I'm booked everywhere.
Boom. Bam, just like that.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, well, this one guy, and people would hit me up to do shows, and I would turn them down. Like, I just don't want to do the shows right now. Man, I'm doing all this TikTok stuff. That's kind of building up. I have some weird issues with TikTok. So I was like, I'm just doing TikTok. And then all of a sudden, he was like, I had all these shows starting to come up, so I hit up the one guy who hit me up. He wanted me to do Newark. I was like, hey, I'll come do Newark. So we sold out Newark, like, in a day, but it was only 80 seats. So we did a second show and then sold that out. So I went to Newark on the first show, didn't say anything about TikTok, did my normal stand-up. And you could tell the crowd was ready. They was listening. They was waiting. And then at the end, they came up to buy shirts. Like, oh, I thought you was going to talk about, like, Derek. And so I was like, all right, I gotta do this. So then for the second show, I immediately just go downstairs. I was like, I don't even have jokes. I'm just going to tell some stories. Because there's been some random stuff that's been happening. So I went up. Like the Blind Adam stuff. Like, that guy really hit me up. And I never had a joke yet. But he hit me up. And he's very upset. So
for those of you who have seen the TikTok videos of Blind Adam, Jason found out there was actually a Blind Adam. Yeah. So and he was not happy.
Blind Adam, he's not happy. And he actually has video. He has my merch of him on his Instagram. You see my merch. They say of him, not of him. And he's telling people I'm an asshole. And then people went on, they were like, yeah, he has 1,200 followers. So people come on like, yeah, man, that's a douche. Some people were like, yeah, man, he's whack anyway. So they was like all sticking up for him. So after I started doing these jokes, I'm starting to have people come on. They're like, hey, man, why don't you just support a black guy instead of getting your feelings about jokes? So then they started coming back. Now, mind you, I wasn't going to do the stories. I wasn't going to tell people about him because I really called him and had a conversation with him. And
you had a conversation with
Blind Adam.
With Blind Adam, actually. Yeah, actual chat.
He was like,
wait, so you just made Blind Adam up, but it turns out to be a real person.
Yeah, but also understand, go to Instagram right now and type in Blind Frank, Blind Bill.
They're
everywhere. Yeah. It's not like he's the only blind. There's blind everybody, bro. Yeah. There's so many blind people. So and people was like, yo, does he do this?
But you made Blind Adam famous.
Yeah.
And you don't have Blind Bill or Blind Frank in your videos.
He said, he was like, he wanted me to retire the video. And was like, and if you retire, we can do a video together. What? So you mean to blow you up while I retire this video? He had somebody, some of his friends are hitting me up going, hey, man, can you explain the Blind Adam merch? And I just ignore these people. And then somebody hit up Cleveland Hilarities and was like, hey, we just want to make you aware of Jason Banks. And Sam's like, we're aware of Jason Banks. He's headlining this weekend. And they're like, yeah, but were you aware he made fun of disabled people? And Sam was like, all disabled people? And so then he messed with them so much that they just stopped. Because he don't care. Because at the end of the day, he's going to book Corey Holcomb the following week, who's going to come up there and talk about everything.
Right.
You think he's mad because I'm making jokes about blind? But I've had two blind people at my shows. Somebody in Tempe came up. Crazy situation because I promise you, it was just like you would imagine it to be. She walks up with her friend and she goes, here's the comedian. And she immediately like turns and then turns back to her friend and grabs her friend. And she's like, is this the comedian? And she was like, it's me. Get off me. She turns her around towards me. So then the whole time she's talking to me, she just grabbed my arm and telling me. And I couldn't get her away because she wouldn't go. People were coming for pictures. So I was like, Kenny. And then Kenny came over and I just kind of steered her off. I was like, here's the other comedian.
Was she excited to see you?
She was excited. Not upset at all. Yeah,
she wasn't offended. She wanted to see you.
Yes.
So,
and then the other lady just in Columbus basically stopped and told the merch guy. And then she came told me some of the story that she's a huge Blind Adam fan. And that they're upset to hear about Blind Adam being upset about Blind Adam. Because she said there's a whole blind community that love me. She said my whole family's blind. I was like, damn, that has to be rough.
The whole family.
Goodness gracious. How many times they come home at night and the neighbors are like, hey, you're at our house again. You live next door.
Right.
Their light bill is really cheap.
So there's a whole community that's just cool with it. Because here's the thing. I'm not doing anything. It's the lightest of jokes. It's just simply like something like him writing a letter and him scribbling. And the letter does the same thing. Like, it's not like I'm sitting there out there just being horribly mean.
No.
I did do one where I thought somebody did come up to me and they were upset about this one. And this is before I had Blind Adam. I used to do videos of people writing their lyrics. And I thought they were funny videos. So it would just be like, if I found the song that, like, it would just be funny to see somebody write the lyrics to it, I would do it. And then when I thought of Stevie Wonder, I was like, yo, that's hilarious. So I would do these videos where he'd be writing the lyrics and it kicked down in the video. And then the paper would be like off to the side. He'd just write on the table or something crazy. And somebody hit me up like, yo, you're going to hell.
Well, I mean, does that cross your mind in this extremely politically correct climate that we're in where you just have to think twice about everything you say and everything that you want to create, even though in your comedic mind all you're thinking of is funny, not offensive, right? So have you started second guessing yourself?
No.
Or you're still just going pure?
I'm going pure right now because I'm thinking to myself, man, if I do, it's not going to be funny. I'm going to do something that's not funny. And what I actually do is TikTok takes down a lot of videos.
Really?
And I have a lot of videos that are R-rated type videos where it's like, you don't get to hear the whole joke. But like, for instance, one where it's just like, I'm sitting there as a kid, I'm talking to my dad. I'm like, hey, listen, if a girl is cheating on a guy and he's explaining this whole thing, like, and I know the guy and I know the girl and I don't want anyone to be mad, but should I tell him? The dad's like, yeah, you should tell him. He was like, thanks, dad. And as he goes to walk out of the room, he's like, dad, mom sucked Uncle Rick's, and it clicks off, right? And I was like, that's hilarious. But
that
now
that works.
That should tell people, yo, you should understand I'm going to say some crazy stuff on stage. So when I say the stuff, which is now when I get on stage and I say something that's going to be more offensive than just a little sex joke, but maybe something about like the guys in LA that dress up like women where I'm telling this joke about that. And then after it goes, I'll always tell the crowd, like, TikTok can't take this shit down. It's just going to be in your mind at this point. And so now anybody that was offended almost forgets about being offended. Like, oh, that's so funny because TikTok takes this shit down all the time.
So now it's – okay. So it's –
but I'm sure validated. It happens soon.
Speaking of which, and I'm going back to your strong woman of a wife, because in a lot of your videos, you portray your wife as
a prostitute. And it's hilarious.
As a prostitute.
And that only came about because it's like I had to, those weird ideas come from nowhere. Like, I understand.
Oh,
blind,
from nowhere.
Blind Adam. Yeah, but listen, blind, this is just me trying to be funny. So one video, I'm like, hey, I should do a video where about getting picked last in gym class. I'm trying to think of some normal situations. Mm-hmm. So one was getting picked last in gym class. And during that video, it's just Derek or another kid. You can't see the other kid. They're going back. And the last kid goes, I'll take Adam. And it shows Derek. He's like, but he's blind. And then it shows blind Adam with the glasses on. I forget what he said. But that's where he came. It wasn't like I thought, yo, I need to have a blind kid here all the time.
Right.
I brought him in. And then I just randomly started bringing him in again. And then he became so big. Like, people like him more than
your universe is expanding. Right.
Yeah. But the wife as a prostitute came for, I was doing like career day. And I just thought it'd be funny. I thought it'd be funny I think it was right after the Uncle Rick one before, because he goes to school and he goes, hey, did you talk to your parents about career day? He said, yeah, my mom's going to come in and talk to you. He goes, oh, what did she do? He goes, she's a prostitute. And he's just like, no. He's like, yes, she is. She just sucked Uncle Rick's and it clicked off again. So,
that video.
So like the ideas that just come from nowhere. And then it's like, that's kind of funny, man.
Do you feel the pressure to keep coming up? I mean, you're putting out how many videos a week?
I was doing 3 to 5 a day, and then this took over so much the stand up that I was on Cameo. You understand? I was on Cameo, and when I first joined Cameo, I was like, "Listen, I'll do $20. So $20, and well, I'll say happy birthday. But then it became a thing because I'm not Brad Pitt. I can't just go on and look in the camera and go, hey, real quick, man. Sharon, Mike said it's your birthday. Happy birthday. People would be excited if that was some Brad Pitt shit. For me, they expect a little video. They expect the kids. They expect me. They expect all this interaction.
They expect all the TikTok stuff. Along with the – so they're not –
Yeah, so they wanted me. They want this TikTok video of happy birthday. So
that takes a production.
But it started going a lot. So I was like, I'm gonna raise the $50. So I raised the $50. And then one day I go on Cameo and I'm hit up by Edwin McCain. Do you know who Edwin McCain is?
The singer. Yeah.
You're crying shoulder.
It's a Sunny 95 song.
It's a great song. And he also sings I Would Not Ask For More. So he hits me up on Cameo. It just says Edwin McCain. He said, hey, you should raise your prices to $100.
Edwin
McCain. I was like,
get it apart from Edwin McCain.
Is it? Are you? Did you sing "I'll Be"? He was like, "Yeah, it only takes one hit." I was like, "That's amazing." He said, "Raise your price to $100." I was like, "Because the holidays, it was like something was coming up. I don't know, Valentine's Day or Christmas." And he was like, "No, man, you're blowing up. I would raise to $100." So I raised it to $100, and then that was getting too much. I would wake up some morning, and there would be 5 or 6 videos I'd have to make for that day, let alone the 3 to 5 TikTok videos to make to keep the money coming in, because I'm getting paid through TikTok as well. So that's why I got to put so many out on this. So then I had up to $150. But it didn't slow down, so now it's off. But if I turn it on right now, I still have people hitting me up. They just hit me up in my TikTok. They don't go, hey, can I give you money for you to tell my dad Happy Father's Day? And I don't even respond. I just don't have the time.
Right.
It's
Does
so
that
much.
Frustrate you?
That they hit me up or that I don't have the time?
That you don't have the time.
Yeah, the money's on the table. You can
take
it.
Yeah, kind of. Because it's actually the easier video to shoot.
Right.
Because they'll just come on like, hey, it's my dad's birthday. My dad, he works as a he's a doctor and he does this. So I'm like, oh, that's so easy. I just bring up like this doctor stuff, and then of course it excites Derek because it's an old man that takes his shirt off or something, so he's pumped up.
Sure.
And then other kids are normal. Blind Adam's doing blind people shit. So it's like it's a very easy process to write these things.
I know,
but it is time consuming. Yes,
but isn't it interesting that before you got to this level of fame where you're at right now, where if somebody would have asked you to do something, you would have had the time and would have been very appreciative. The fact that they asked and we would have done it, and now you're in a position where you're so busy. I mean, something's got to give, Hansberry. Got to give, and knowing you, as I've known you over the years, you seem like the type of person that wants to do the very best he can to make as many people as happy as he possibly can, but it's not possible.
It's not possible.
Does that mess with your head?
No, because I actually have an agent now that is able to be the bad guy for me.
Okay.
So it's a lot. Yeah. So
that's
it's
what
like,
I say. You need
he told me just send everything to me. And the things that aren't worth it, he doesn't respond. And if they are worth it, he'll hit me up. I still have people hit me up and just ask me straight up, and I just push them towards him. But especially with comedy shows. Like, that's the easiest thing, because I'm getting, like, what he's booking me is the real deal comedy shows, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking real deal money with these people. And then other clubs will hit me up like, hey, man, come through and we'll throw you this much. And then I'll hit him up. He'll be like, go look their list. They're not going to pay what the other clubs are paying. They're not even worth even talking to about. So I don't have to be the bad guy anymore. He's the bad guy. And then Jared, my merch guy, he's the bad guy.
Jared can play the toughie. He can play the hard. He can play the hard guy.
I made him cut the line off, but sometimes he doesn't think straight. Like I said, there was 9 or 10 people left in line. And I said, Jared, go cut the line off so nobody joins the line, because they keep coming from the second show. Second show is trying to jump the first show line.
Right.
And instead of Jared going to the back going, hey, nobody else comes in line, he just went to the rest of the 10 people, hey, Jay gotta go. You guys can come get pictures. I'm like, no. They can still get their picture, bro. Just don't let nobody else. He looked at me like, I ain't know what you want, man.
Let me explain it a little more specifically.
Yeah.
But kudos to you, because Jared loves you, and Jared's been with you from the get-go. So is Kenny. So is Bobby. And you're taking Kenny and Bobby with you on this ride as well. I watched them both before you came up on stage Thursday night. They both did great. Kenny still makes me laugh. And it was interesting. You know, I watched to see, because that was the first time I've been in a comedy club. Just walking in the comedy club since before the pandemic. Last show I did was our Christmas show before the year turned and the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And I was back and it felt weird. And it's like, and I'm watching, like, and I found it interesting that Kenny didn't say anything about the pandemic. Bobby didn't say anything about the pandemic. You did a couple jokes about the pandemic.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how and that crossed my mind, like, if I got back on stage, what am I going to talk about? Because I have all these ideas in my head about one, but they're not all pandemic related, and they're not about COVID per se, but they're about experiences that I had over the course of the year with COVID. And so I watched you like talk about, like, you were kind of digging the social distancing thing because, yeah, you know, your friends would always come over and now they couldn't come over anymore. Yeah. And you said on stage, I don't really like my friends. Yeah.
So here's the thing though. So when I write jokes, I make sure that I can use this joke for as long as I want to. So for my pandemic jokes, if you went back and listened to them, you notice I don't even have to say anything about the pandemic. Right. So the first one was, my wife does work from home now because of the pandemic. So she did stop dressing up for the most part. So she's just wearing sweats around the house. So I do the whole thing where I say, I thought someone broke in the house. But at the end of the day, I don't even have to say it's about the pandemic. It's just simply, hey, my wife started work from home. The next one was about me. We were sitting on the porch. I was not allowed to leave, so I sat on the porch. I watched white women jog by.
Right.
At the end of the day, I live in a nice neighborhood. I could see white women jog by. Like, it doesn't have to be pandemic related, but it all starts out with pandemic. And I think it's because pandemic just ended for the most part. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want people to know this is new stuff, right? So when I go up on stage and hit them with TikTok for the first, you know, 7 minutes and then go into the pandemic, it's like people are like, oh, he just wrote a whole new set. And then right after I know that, they're like, oh, no, here comes the jokes.
Right, right. Here comes, and I thought that was an interesting approach that you took to an almost humble approach. It's like you said, you know, pandemic hit and I was a comic out of work, then I downloaded the TikTok app and then this shit happened.
Yeah.
And I found that to be a very appreciative and humble reply to what has happened here. Now my next question is, and I go back to that 15 minutes of fame, all right, you don't strike me as the type of individual that's gonna rest on those laurels. I mean, this is gonna eventually, like everything, like every rocket that fires, it burns out, and then there's the next thing. So, what is next for Jason Banks? Because and I talked to Jared about this, because the first thing I thought about was like, these TikTok videos need to be animated.
Yeah.
And then up on stage, you started talking about how you were approached about animation, how, you know, you as the father and Derek as your son could be the next one of your favorites, Rick and Morty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It could be the Rick and Morty thing. So it just seems like, and the fact that you've, with the filters, have exaggerated the expressions and the t-shirts that you sell and the merchandising are all that they're, screaming for a series.
I was joking about the expanding the universe, but that's any cartoon, The Simpsons. You know, they just like, oh, we need a mayor. And then they write a mayor. And now they got a mayor, you know,
Well, well, what's next, man, is anything, wherever it takes me. Like right now, I have, my agent hit me up and was like, yo, I got a manager. Manager works for Brillstein, huge company, right?
Right. Big with comics for years.
Yeah. He was like,
so you got a manager and an agent?
No. He said there's a manager that wants to manage me. He gave me his name. I checked him out a couple of times on Instagram, and then recently he started following me. He wasn't following me before, but now he's following me. And he's like, I don't know if you need him right now. If I were you, I would probably just, because, you know, you're all booked up for the year.
This the agent talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you're going to need, but you want him, but you understand he's going to take 10%. So do you want him right now while you're booked up for the year, making this money and give him 10% every time? Or do you want to make your money and then get the agent and say, because what he's going to do is, he's like, basically I do a lot that he's going to do right now anyway, right?
Right.
So my agent is making sure I'm picked up from the airport, getting to the airport, rides, making sure there's any issues with the club. Letting the clubs know if I'm sending merch or if I'm bringing it with me. So he's like, normally an agent's going to do that, but I take care of that. Now, he will get you, hey, here's this comedian game show, or here's late night, and I get you in this commercial and all that stuff. But then again, I'm booked up so much that, will I really have time to go, I want to fly out Monday and do this real quick and get back on the road for that.
Remembering from my experiences in Los Angeles, that's a tightrope, man, because agents, while at the same time don't want to dismiss a manager, they're reluctant to say, like, you should get a manager, but they don't want any of the power taken away from them.
Yeah.
As well. They don't. And so they're a little suspect of, like, oh, he's getting a manager. You know, am I going to be boxed out once he gets a manager?
That's super interesting. I guess I've never.
That's an interesting.
Yeah, I thought about that
dynamic, man. Because the agent's like, oh, yeah, man, you want a manager? Cool, we'll find a good manager for you. I don't want him to get a manager.
Yeah,
I want to do this. I want it all.
Now, see, I didn't even know there's a difference between an agent and a manager.
Okay, because here's the thing: the agent isn't. He's only taking 10% of what I'm being. What he's booking for me. So that's even the best thing about it, because you understand, I went through ages before him that I didn't even know. So like, they're like, no, he's like 10%, whatever I book, if you book it, that's you. Man, I understand when I first gained a million followers, I hit up by four, I should say, agents. One of them had one girl as a singer, and now I see that he's basically banging this chick now. And they be on each other's TikTok, I mean, on each other's Instagram. The other guy was a guy who sent me this photo. I wish I could show you the photo of the Derek character that he paid for someone to draw up. And then he seemed very upset when I wasn't going to use it. And when I showed him mine, like, listen, I had a Canadian artist that killed this. And then he saw it and he was like,
t-shirts are great.
Pretty good. But the one that I signed with, he was the smoothest of all, man. He was from Boston. And he looked like the Jerry Maguire type. Like, he just always in this like fancy suit. You see him with a little headset on. He looked like he just in a show Jerry me Maguire. The money. Like, so he's hit me with all this. And then he was like, so my good friend, his name's Slim. You can look him up. He used to be president of Bad Boy Entertainment. That's like Puff Daddy and them. Right. So I'm looking up in their short. There's a guy named Slim. And he was like, so he's actually golfing with Kevin Hart. We were looking at a video the other day, and he was like, man, I want to show Kevin these so bad, but I don't want to show him unless he's signed with you. And I told him, no, man, just show him anyway. I don't care if he signed with me or not. I think he deserves this. And so he was just hitting me up about this Kevin Hart stuff. And he's like, I've already talked to people about these huge tours. So I signed with him, but I got a 3-month opt-out contract. So I can leave within 3 months. But he's like, trust me, you're not going to want to leave.
You're not going to want to leave me.
So the problem is, he tells me basically with the merch sales that they also do merch, but it's like the shipping, that I would get, he had to pay 15% to Shopify. So because of that, that took away from me getting the 70%, which took me down to 55%.
All right.
When the sales come, basically I realized, no, he's taking 45% and I'm taking 55%. So I hit him up. We have this argument. This is day one that my shirts went out. Day one, my shirts went out. $4,000 profit on day one when we put these out. The sales just coming in.
Boom.
I took the link down immediately when I saw how much he was getting from these sales. And so he was upset. He's telling me, hit him back. I went and talked to Jared. You know, Jared has that lawyer there.
Right.
So we have this lawyer. This lawyer's writing him letters like, no, we went out of this contract. It was 3 months. He don't want to let me out of a contract. By the time, mid-conversation, back and forth with my lawyer, he is arrested. Because let me back up a little bit. So he's getting 45% of my money. I realized that morning as the sales are going out. So I was like, I never really did some deep research on this guy. Let me just look him up and see what I was expecting to see is maybe other TikTokers say, hey man, this guy was my agent. He took 45% of my sales. He tricked me on sales what I was looking for. When I Googled him, I found out he was arrested for security fraud years ago. And then he also, a weird story, which you can see online, he owned a business and he had all these printers in there. And something happened that the business got shut down. So the people, they just came and dumped thousands and thousands of printers in his backyard to the point the city of Salem was suing him because it was so dirty in his backyard from just printers. I mean, if you watch this news story, like the helicopter goes up and it's just everywhere. It looks ridiculous. And so he was arrested. He's in jail now for 2 years. And so during when that 3 month was there, he wasn't even there to talk to. My lawyer just had to send him a letter and say, hey, we're out of this cunt. That's just the email address they were going back and forth to for a while.
So you're learning.
And you
feel like the agent you got is watching your back as well. I know Jared's got your back.
So I feel good with this agent because it's Dave Stroop's friend.
Okay.
So this isn't just like an agent that just hit Dave Stroop up. This is an agent that most of them deal with. This is like Ali Sadiq's agent and Taylor Tomlinson's agent. So like Sam deals with him all the time. Stroop deals with him. So I feel comfortable that Stroop golfs with him. And I think Stroop is a good guy. So I feel comfortable with it being a friend of his. Because he's normally from Youngstown. He's born in Youngstown, Ohio, but okay. now lives
so
out
he's
in
got
LA.
Some Ohio roots, yeah. Youngstown, Canton. So
yeah,
did that help with the connection?
No, the name helped, man. It was United Talent Agency. It could have been from anywhere, man. It was when Dave hit me up and was like, let's try these clubs and let's try to pay you this way to see if this following does work out for you. And then when he hit me up, and then I started getting the emails of like, listen, I signed with him. Let's say I signed with him on the 15th. On the 16th, I have this email that says possible 2021 schedule. And it's just club after club, like Miami Improv seating, mm-hmm. how many people, walkout potential, then the next one, Tempe, sure. to everywhere.
Boom, boom,
to the
boom.
Point, all I had to do was just say, yeah, man, put these all.
Do you feel yeah, and are you feeling the pressure or are you
no
because when it comes to stand up you've been ready to I mean you've been headlining clubs for a while but now on this level where there is an expectation right there's a different expectation I'm telling you man I felt it when I was sitting there watching you I could see it feel it in the crowd there's an expectation now for what you and in some ways it's almost easier because they're so happy that they're there.
Yeah.
That they almost don't care what you say. They're just happy that they're seeing, and I'm sorry, the TikTok guy right now. But eventually, at some point, they're going to want to see, are they going to see Jason Banks, the sitcom star? Are they going to see Jason Banks, the movie star? Are you going to follow anybody's route? I mean, is there a plan or...
I think it's this. I think the plan has always been, which I've reached. So now I got to make a new plan because the plan was always make enough money from stand up or comedy that my wife doesn't have to work. Right?
Is she not working?
No, she is working, but she don't have to work. I told her all the time. Listen, we're at the point now that I understand you might. She's really good at getting jobs, so you have to go back and get a job later in life because something goes down, you can. But right now. Any of those days you tell me about, hey, this girl just emailed me and she's going to say, I went on a call, so I think I should be doing this. You could just be like, hey, fuck it. I quit today.
I quit.
And it's good. We're good to go. So I've reached that point. So because of that, it's just whatever comes. Here's the thing. Things been coming that makes me just question what I want to do.
You know,
the first one was I was sitting there and got an email and it said, Tatiana Bull at Disney.com. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, yo, this is at Disney.com. Like, I don't know if you can make... that email dressed up. I can't just make it Jason Banks. So I click on it. It's like, hey, man, we enjoy your TikToks. We want to see if you want to come in for a general audition.
That's it. We're done. Part one is over. Much more from the conversation with Jason Banks on part two that will drop next Monday. For all our loyal Whiskey Business listeners, thank you very much. If you're new to Whiskey Business, make sure you smash that subscribe button right there on your favorite podcasting app. Rate, review, and dig into our archives, and also word of mouth. Share Whiskey Business with all your friends. WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and we are proud to be members of the Evergreen Podcast Network, evergreenpodcasts.com. There's a variety of podcasts on there, so check them out. There's sure to be something that'll tickle your fancy. I'm Greg Hansberry for Dino Tripodis, John Whitney. Until the next bottle, see ya.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.